Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are going to be highlighting one of the conversations that we recently had on the floor of the recently held Africa Tech Conference, specifically the AfricaCom segment of that conference, where some of the biggest in the telecommunications industry come together to commiserate, to debate and talk about some of the big things in the industry. We caught up with the CEO of Liquid South Africa, and you know, here's that conversation. So now I'm joined by the CEO of Liquid South Africa, and they have just signed can I call it a renewal? Of an ongoing agreement that they have with the Western Cape government. Obviously, that's an example of a public-private partnership, a PPP, and just getting a sense of what that looks like. I believe it's roughly a 2 billion or so rand investment. So for us, obviously, we're coming from the world of finance, economics, etc. The people want to know and understand I guess Liquid's place in a in an agreement like that, and why, you know, something like that makes business sense for you guys.
I think it's important to look at the history of these relationships. I think it's as a starting base. You know, 11 years ago, 10 years ago, Western Cape government went on a drive because they understood that digital infrastructure investment will bring percentage points of GDP growth. Yeah. If they are able to build a foundation of digital infrastructure connecting government, including schools, municipalities, hospitals, clinics, libraries. And that project 10 years ago started as a broadband 1.0 program, a PPP model, which we were contracted to build fiber infrastructure to 1,900 plus government buildings. At the time, fiber was still in its infancy in the province, and therefore required a partnership with government to also say, hey, there are parts like the Northern Cape or parts of Western Cape, which is not that well connected, in order to partner with government for a long term to make sufficient business sense to actually build infrastructure to these areas. The good thing about it is that the Western Cape government have been very serious about that investment. Because on top of the digital infrastructure that has been built, we also added on top of that free public Wi-Fi services for citizens. Yeah. So today, if you visit a hospital, for example, in the Western Cape, you have access to free public Wi-Fi services. If you go to libraries today, you know, citizens can actually use that library not only to go and read books or take out books, but actually apply for jobs, scan for jobs, you know, place adverts in local market, as an example. And very importantly, they've been able to transition and start digital services for the citizens. And I think the Premier's quite vocal about the impact that that's had for them as a province, not only supporting percentage points of GDP growth, but enabling the province to be smarter in their ways of work, which was proven when COVID hit. You know, Western Cape were the easiest to transition to distance learning for schools without quite a large impact compared to other provinces which weren't as far down the road on infrastructure development. Yeah. So what is different now? You know, these contracts have a life cycle. At the end of that broadband 1.0 life cycle, they went on a procurement process for a bidder with slightly different scope, bit of an architecture rethink. Rethink of what other sites they actually want to connect. Do they expand that to other municipalities? Do they add some buildings to the inventory? So they put that scope to market. And of course, as Liquid, we were successful in the process and we signed that contract. We have signed that contract. Great for us to continue the partnership with the province.
I was actually going to just check when it comes to, because you guys are continuing. Yes. But as you said, there was a change in the scope. Are you now, I guess, offering more, you know, in terms of that? What's changed for?
If you look at the big picture, right? If you take an umbrella view and you take a provincial view out of that, and you can, of course, confirm that with the province. If you look at the architecture change we're actually deploying SD-WAN in CPE devices, which brings with it the benefit of improved cybersecurity, improved optimal routing for cloud-related services. So as government moves more cloud into cloud services, it will optimally route how the network is set up. It brings along also incremental set of sites. It's about 250 incremental sites that we have to go and build out in parts of the province that we need to add to the portfolio. And then changing a little bit the architecture of how do we integrate into CETA's IT core network and how that actually comes together.
All right. One of the key things from us is, you know, a lot of people are trying to attack this digital inclusion discussion in different ways. And obviously, this type of project is one of the ways that people have gone about things. But people tend to have, I guess, different structures, you know, of how you put something like that together. Some people will say, okay, you know what, I'll just come and build. And then anything on top of that, you can get your own ISPs, you can get your own, you know, and then we are hands off, we've done our part. Others do the continuous piece that you've just spoken about, where it's a long-term you know, project. Others just come at the ISP level. Others just come at the hardware level. Others come at the infrastructure level. If you were to advise, you know, some people that are trying to put together an effective rollout of this kind, you know, what are you whispering, you know, to people in a room like that?
I think it's a very interesting question because you touched on a lot of areas. And I think the first comment is the ICT environment is a big landscape. Firstly, because to your point that you just made, it goes from the end CPE device that someone uses, that someone has to distribute locally in market, which someone has to go and fix, repair, distribute, sell. It goes to the network ISP, the person that builds, operates, runs a network, whether that is a Wi-Fi network or a wireless or a fiber network.
Yeah.
And depending on that infrastructure, someone has to plan, build, operate, and run that, and someone has to own it, and someone has to fund it. And then lastly, you have the broader OEMs, which brings equipment in to run that. Or you have cloud providers that is bringing software services into play for that. So the ICT industry in South Africa is actually quite a vast array of solution sets that need to go in to make an end product work, like the example. If you think about, take a school that we're going to connect now in Western Cape. You know, there's a CPE from an OEM that has to go in there, but someone has to plan and implement and run that. Someone has to operate and maintain and support that fiber line that connects that in school, you know. And someone has to worry about the application set, which is going to be utilized. And someone has to bring in the laptop and a device. So it's a broad ecosystem, right? And I think in that, there's a lot of opportunities for people to play a role and be an actor in that environment. So what we typically do is to say, well, what is your core skill? We do a lot of skills development in the country. And what we typically look at our skills development programs is, on the one hand, we partner, for example, in Umtata in the Eastern Cape. We've got a skills development program whereby we teach people cloud and cybersecurity skills. Because that is typically an easy way to become a partner in a local community, because at the end, everyone has a form of a laptop with a device and want to be able to set up email and run a small business from their device. In Rustenburg, we, for example, have a program in Pukeng whereby we're training people to do laptop and device fixes, as an example. In the Eastern Cape as well, we have a program teaching people how to splice fiber, how to dig fiber, how to plan fiber. And then lastly, we also have, as part of our skills development program, also a small, medium enterprise business development program. So in other words, we actually coach people on how they should think about managing, running, operating a business. That when they start out, yes, you can give them business, but they can successfully run that. Because the problem you, of course, don't want to have is that someone comes in, great, they want a contract, they start to execute it, but then they have no money at the end of the process. Yeah. How you have to think about running this business. Winning a contract is nice, but executing and paid for it is better, right? And doing that continually. So I think the key thing, my comment usually to people in the room is, it's a broad environment. Look at where your strengths are. Some people are strong in sales and distribution. Then think about, how do I partner with people with product sets that I can go and sell. Some people are good with their hands and want to build and plan and want to operate and run. They technically mind it, right? Some people are good with software skills. They want to go and play with cloud-related skill sets and set up laptops and PCs and small businesses and workflows on cloud applications. So it really depends on the skill set. And that's why we actually are quite focused also on what we do with the traditional STEM subjects, you know, which is helping people thinking through science, technology, engineering, mathematics, to actually help people think through what are not only the practical technical capabilities, but the mindset. You know, I was at a recently, we were very proud of launching, it's a Pampa High School in Northwest Province, a digital lab for one of the schools there, which is servicing 300 individuals. And what I told the kids during the process was exactly that. What we're teaching you is we're giving you a tool, but it's more about the mindset. I can teach you math and we can help you, we can tutor you, but it's about the mindset and you have to own that. And you have to say, hey, how do I use that mindset with the tools and the opportunities that I get to make the most out of that? Because all of us are compete fairly in the market. Be the best in what you can be to be successful at that, and you will do well.
All right. Now, in the interest of time, I'm just going to give you my last two things that we are curious about, you know, and then I think we can land today's conversation. The first one is around, there's a big debate with infrastructure players and fiber. You know, around co-investment. We are recording this soon after all of this competition tribunal stuff around Maziv, Vodacom, and a big part of the argument there is if it's infrastructure, rather co-invest as opposed to doing it by yourself, all of that. So we're keen to understand with a public-private partnership like this one that you're doing, when people are to unpack, you know, something like the 2 billion rand investment, is that the government, you know, putting down all the money, is that Liquid? Is it, you know, maybe other silent partners along the way? Like, maybe is it that? And then the last one is, as an infrastructure player, AI, opportunity or threat?
Let me answer the first question first. Infrastructure development and the role that government plays and private sector plays. I want to maybe take you rather back to the Eastern Cape announcements that we made over the last 2 years. You're probably aware that we're also rolling out the Eastern Cape broadband program. Now, the Eastern Cape program, what was complex about that project is you have 2,700 government buildings across the province with very little digital infrastructure that has been built in the province. That program required us to invest 1.5 billion rand in capital into that program. So we as Liquid took the opportunity to partner with government in a PPP model whereby we appoint small, medium enterprises to help build a network. We took the lead in getting funding to roll that out. We announced last year close to 1 billion rand worth of funding in partnership with IFC and Rand Merchant Bank to fund that program for us. And of course, the model there is the government pays us an ordinary fee for the last mile access for that. Yet we build a private network of 7,500 kilometers of fiber in the province, which for us, the business case is doing it standalone is not viable short or medium term. So you need to have an anchor tenant, which government then becomes, which then opens up the opportunity for the province to also grow other opportunities. If you think about what that will do downstream for enterprises coming in, if you think about enterprises and people thinking about 2 Africa landing in the province, potentially thinking about data centers in the province, what they will be doing to fiber to the home providers, which will buy wholesale services from us at the back end of that, right? So it opens up the ecosystem. And then lastly, if you go back to the AI question, I mean, you would have seen that publicly we also launched an AI business, and that is really, we see AI being a significant game changer for the future of technology usage and adoption, and not only opportunity and threat on the cybersecurity potential side, but we see it as a massive opportunity. And we don't see it as only threats. You know, typically the threat comes in as, are people's jobs safe? You know, we don't see it that way, because the reality is as machines become smarter, we need to make sure that the people operating that also become smart. I think what it does is it opens up so many more applications to ordinary people with ordinary applications, which will become so much more efficient and faster. that it's no longer about searching for data, but it's actually about how you get access to that data, utilizing that very quickly, getting to the fact-based decision-making. Remember, I mean, I like Microsoft's word of co-pilot. You know, it is not the pilot that will take the decision, it's a co-pilot. You know, in the analysis of a co-pilot in the sky in a plane, right? You have the main captain, which is flying the plane, but you've got a co-pilot coming in and saying, hey, for this journey, let me take this journey and just have a look. But it's a co. You know, he's not taking the fundamental decisions and the life-threatening decisions. It's about how do we make sure that we also do that ethically in the right way, that it stays in that environment. And I think that's probably, if you look at the threat piece, at a regulation and how technology will evolve globally, that's probably where the threat piece is coming in more. And we have to think clearly about how do we protect ourselves from those threats. And it's good to see the big developers around AI, you know, forming pacts of saying that we for safe and secure AI development.
Nice. So that's where we end off. Thank you so much. Just talking to Dion Giza. He is the CEO of Liquid Intelligence Technologies for South Africa, giving us some insight into their recent renewal of their public-private partnership with the Western Cape government around the public access to broadband, giving us some insight into how those types of agreements come together, how partnerships like that can be sustainable, how they can be structured, and also modeling how a project like that sort of mirrors in some aspects and some of the complexities as well that they faced implementing something like that in the Eastern Cape, and also giving us some insight into how probably the biggest buzzword right now in technology, which is AI or artificial intelligence, is helping to drive infrastructure projects going forward. So that's been it. Thank you so much, Dion.
Thank you.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.